to introduce this subject also in relation to the main topic of the conference, let us rise up and build. This verse from the book of Nehemiah, which had been before us already a couple of times. And yesterday morning in the keynote address, we have been talking about the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And before I talk about the topic now of a large assembly gathering, let me first come back to a few points mentioned yesterday morning in relation to the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And then we want to see how this applies to a large assembly gathering. Now, first of all, when we talk about the walls, what is the key thought the Word of God is teaching us? And I put here just three keywords in relation to the walls, and one is separation, the second is protection, the third one is ownership. And these are really words the Word of God is using when it speaks about the walls. And I mentioned below two verses, and at least one of them we want to read now together. That's in the book of Ezekiel, and in chapter 42, this part of the book of Ezekiel speaks of the New Jerusalem, and there we read about the walls of Jerusalem and about the meaning of the walls. Let's read verse 20 of Ezekiel 42. It says, "He measured it on the four sides. It had a wall around about 500 long and 500 broad to make a separation between that which was holy and that which was common." That tells us clearly the purpose of the wall in the Word of God. It is in order to really separate what is holy from what is common. Therefore, this key thought of separation. Obviously, a wall also speaks of protection. We want to protect something. Those who are inside the walls are protected. But then there's also the thought of ownership. We are here on this property of Ocean View Bible Camp, and I noticed yesterday morning when coming in that there is a wall at the beginning. And that is what we do actually also around our houses, our properties. We build a wall or a fence or whatever it is. But that is a thought applying also in relation to the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. That God tells us what belongs to Him, what is His property, is somehow really something which is fenced off. And that belongs, that is also true in relation to the assembly. The assembly of God in this world, it is something which is His property, separated to Him, and something which is really fenced off. The world has to be shut out. And that we will see then also when we turn to the assembly just in a moment. We could summarize it with this sentence here, that the walls are there to protect and to preserve what is precious to God and for the blessing of His people. That is really the purpose also when we think about the walls of Jerusalem. Inside this city was a temple, there was the altar, sacrifices were offered to God, and God wanted that this city is surrounded by a wall, and that so what is really for His pleasure is protected and preserved. And therefore, this injunction we had before us, let us rise up and build, so that what is for God might be really preserved and protected, and this also in our days. Now then we had the thought of the gates. We know from the Word of God that the gates are a place of administration. We see it, for example, in the book of Ruth at the beginning, in chapter 4, that there actually important decisions were taken. And as we put it here, it is to exclude what is not suitable for God and to include what is precious for Him. therefore the walls and the gates, and we have seen yesterday there are things to be let in, like the sheep, which speak to us of precious souls, but we have also seen that there are gates, like the dung gate, or the gate of refuse, as it was called, that there are things which really must be put out of the city. And that we see again also in the New Testament. Now, in Nehemiah 3, we have seen yesterday that 10 gates are mentioned, although also Jerusalem at that time had actually 12 gates. Two more are mentioned later on in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8 and chapter 12, the gate of Ephraim, the gate of prison also. They are not mentioned in chapter 3. And we have just 10 gates mentioned there, and that underlines the sort of our responsibility. Our responsibility in relation really to the walls and the gates. Now, let us apply this to the New Testament, and I would like to use the first epistle to the Corinthians. And I do this because the assembly in Corinth was definitely a large assembly. In Acts chapter 19, we read about the city of Corinth, that when Paul came there, God told him in Acts, let's just find the verse, chapter 18, I think it's verse 10. Yes, it says that God told him, I have much people in this city. This corrupt city of Corinth, God had much people there, his people, and he wanted to take his people, actually, to see them really separated unto him. His assembly there in Corinth, the called out ones, called out of this vault to be really for God, for the Lord. Now, it is interesting that when we go to the first epistle to the Corinthians, without that the walls are directly mentioned there, but we have very clearly the thought before us that what is for God has to be really, first of all, fenced off from the world. And that is what we have before us, actually, in the first 10 chapters of 1 Corinthians. It is just one key thought throughout these chapters. And I would like to underline this here at the very beginning. We have the Church of God and its order before us in this epistle. But first of all, in the first 10 chapters, we learn that the assembly of God is something which is for God, and it must be really, yes, fenced off from the wall, from the world and all evil influences. And one key thought in the first 4 chapters actually is that the wisdom of the world you find there in relation to the different schools of thinking, in particular amongst the Greeks, that was a tendency which slipped into the assembly. There were also, unfortunately, parties in the assembly in Corinth. People said, I'm of Paul, of Cephas, or of Apollos. This way of thinking, the wisdom of the world, is something which should not be found in the assembly. Then in chapters 5 to 7, things in relation to the lusts of the flesh. The other enemy we have, not just the world, but also the flesh in us. And this morning we have been talking about the flesh in us, and that we have to be really careful and realize that we are crucified with Christ, so that the flesh would not have a place in the assembly. Finally, the power of Satan in relation to idolatry, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 8 to 10. We see that Paul is warning the Corinthians regarding these dangers, because idolatry would put also into relation with demons, with which the Corinthians should not have any fellowship. The world has to be shut out. We have to be careful regarding our flesh. We have to be also careful regarding the wiles of the enemy and the power of Satan, actually, which was very manifest. And so the walls have to be built. And we see also in these chapters, actually, that evil had to be shut out. When we think about 1 Corinthians 5, evil had to be excluded. There you have really an example for the dung gate in the book of Nehemiah. Now, once Paul had outlined this in 1 Corinthians 11 to 14, we see really the inner order, the internal order of the assembly. And we see, first of all, that the headship of Christ is underlined. He is really the head of the assembly. And we have in 1 Corinthians 11 instructions also as to head covering. The remembrance of the Lord we have then before us, and then that we are members of each other, and that first, furthermore, in chapter 13, then love is really the principle of edification in the assembly. And then we see in chapter 14 how gifts are exercised. Now you have a large assembly, and we find in 1 Corinthians really important teaching as to assembly order, how it can be maintained and should be maintained according to the Word of God. Now, before I finish, let me just simply mention still the following care needed now regarding large assemblies. And we have to keep in mind two things. On one hand, when we think about a large assembly, there are moments where we gather together as assembly. And I think it's good for us if we look together now, and also in our deliberations afterwards, at assembly gatherings and how things should happen in an assembly gathering. And I suggest that we look in particular into 1 Corinthians 14, where we have one of the assembly gatherings mentioned, where we find in particular the gathering for edification or for open ministry, we could say. Very important teaching is given there. And again, in the context of a large assembly gathering, how things should happen. And then afterwards, also, in relation to the fact that we are not always gathering together as assembly, but we always belong, of course, to the assembly, and there's also care needed in general regarding assembly life, also outside the assembly gatherings. And the brethren had suggested, actually, in relation to this topic, Acts chapter 6, and I mention here these verses we want to read also afterwards together. And we see that, yes, special needs can arise, in particular there in relation to the fact that in large gatherings, easily people can be overlooked. That was a problem here in Acts chapter 6. And then we want to turn back also to the Old Testament and relate it to the book of Nehemiah again, where we see also important instructions God is giving us in relation to administration of, in that case, the city of Jerusalem, but we apply it also to a local assembly. Now let us read together these verses, and I just make a few comments, but maybe we could, in our deliberations, focus a little bit on these scripture portions. There are many more, of course, we can refer to, but it may be good to focus in particular on these ones. Now, let us read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done to edification. Then we go on with verse 29. And let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if there be revelation to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be encouraged, and spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the assemblies of the saints. You see that there was really a certain wealth, spiritual wealth, also in the assembly in Corinth, and there were gifts there, and many were exercised to use their gift. And that led, unfortunately, to an amount of disorder in the assembly. And what is striking here, that Paul is not now telling the Corinthians, now let us stop with his meetings of open ministry, where everything is really open and free. Let us have clear rules, who is about to speak, and things like that. There's not now any law established or so, but we see that indeed certain instructions are given, that things would happen really, as we read it at the end of the chapter, come Lily, and with order. We have these important principles in 1 Corinthians 14 in relation to the exercise of gifts, that first of all, everything should be done with love, follow after love. That's the first principle in verse 1. Follow after love. The second principle in verse 26, let all things be done to edification. And finally, at the end of the chapter, verse 40, let all things be done comelily and with order. Very important principles as to gatherings as assembly, in particular for edification and for ministry. There's room for everybody, but these principles should be followed. And in this paragraph we have read together, let all things be done to edification. And the word reminds us here of the fact that the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. Nobody should say, well, the Spirit is pushing me, leading me to do this or that. Yes, the Spirit wants to guide us, lead us in the assembly, but we have to keep in mind also that, yes, proper sense must prevail as well. If I have already in a large assembly, for example, for the breaking of bread, I should realize in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33, at the in a large assembly, the six become rising, and Acts chapter 6, the disciples multiplying in number, they arose a murmuring of their widows were overlooked in the daily ministration. Having called the multitude of the disciples to them, said, it is not right that we, your brethren, from among yourselves, seven men, well, whom we will establish over this business. But we will give, and the saying pleased the holy multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem obeyed the faith. A conflict situation in the assembly because some people were overlooked. And that is really a danger in a large assembly. Maybe in particular those who are weak, about widows who had been overlooked. That is maybe to overlook them. They have needs as well. Not just encourage. And we see how the assembly, and that they appointed these seven brothers who this exercise. And in a large assembly, in whom we read here, full of the Holy Spirit, who have really this good testimony. And let us just read also these verses in Nehemiah. In Jed, the walls of Jerusalem had been built. We were reminded 6, saying the wall was finished. But then in chapter 7, the doors, that the doorkeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed, the ruler of the citadel, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a face, said to them that the gates of Jerusalem should not be opened until the sun was hot of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. everyone in his words. If we apply now this situation, and we apply it to a large assembly gathering, and here we see the city of Jerusalem, that there were doorkeepers. Also, we read in verse 3 that everyone in his watch. Then we find that in particular the importance of watching is if an assembly testimony should be maintained for the glory of what is precious to the Lord, that also administration is properly, and like Hanani and also Hananiah, who are mentioned here, they were faithful men, feared God above many. That is such assembly gatherings. And I trust also here in your country who have a good testimony and who really care in this sense. Help us as we go now in more detail into the subject and assembly gatherings. And I mentioned just one portion where we find details, but then also assembly life in general and godly administration now.